Let's open our Bibles to the fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. Just hold your place there for just a few minutes. And let me tell you about four of the rarest, richest, greatest honors, privileges, and blessings a man can enjoy in this world. And these are four great honors God has been pleased to grant to me. The Lord God has revealed His Son in me. What a great, rare thing that is. We live in a day when few know who God is. Few know anything about His grace. Few know His Son. If God has given you life and faith in His Son, you ought never to cease to give thanks to Him for His great mercy and grace in doing so. Secondly, God has given me the privilege, since I was 17 years old, of being a part of a church family where the gospel of God is honored and where Christ is honored and where Christ is preached. It has been my privilege to be part of this church family for better than 37 years. What a privilege. The local church is a miniature of the church universal. This is the body of Christ. We are privileged to be part of the body of Christ. We ought to make it our business always to do everything we can to assist and to help one another in the body of Christ. This fifth chapter of Ephesians, Paul is particularly talking about the local church and the privileges and responsibilities that are ours as one with Christ and one with one another. When we come to together at the Lord's table every Sunday evening, Paul urges us to remember this is the communion of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And we have been baptized into one body, partakers of Christ and partakers of one another, so that our lives constantly are affected by one another. Let us do good to one another in the house and kingdom of God. And the Lord God has been pleased to make me a preacher of the gospel. He has entrusted to my hands the treasure of His grace to proclaim the gospel of His grace in this generation, for the salvation of His people, for the care of His people, for the glory of His name, for the honor of His Son. I cannot imagine a man more unsuited, more unfit, more incapable of doing that which God has trusted to my hands, and I count it my highest honor in this world, to be a preacher of the gospel. And fourth, the Lord God graciously has given me the privilege of living in a happy home. A happy home. What a privilege. What a privilege. I never knew what that was until God gave me the wife He did and gave us the blessed privilege of His grace in our homes. I wonder if you'd be interested in three things that will guarantee a happy home. I know some of you are older than I am and have been married longer than I have, but I'm not a novice. I've been preaching the gospel for 50 years, and Shelby and I have been married for 48 of those years. I don't pretend to have all the answers to the questions and problems that people have in their homes. But I do know that any problem you may have in your home will arise from one of these three specific areas that I'll be discussing in this message, three things that Paul deals with in this fifth chapter of Ephesians, beginning at verse 22 and going down through the fourth verse of chapter 6. Here are three things that will guarantee a happy home. If we would build our homes for the glory of Christ, if we would honor God in our households, and that's our responsibility, That's our privilege and our responsibility. If we would do so in our homes, we must make the Word of God and the Word of God alone authoritative, so that our homes are built upon the Word of God. We must not allow social philosophy, human opinion, the customs of the day to govern the way we live in our homes. We simply must not do so. We must not allow the latest opinion polls to dictate our family's principles. The Word of God gives us plain, clear, unmistakable instruction in all areas of family life and in all areas of moral conduct. You don't have to question anything concerning what we ought to do in our relationship with one another, in public life, or in our private lives, or in our homes. The Word of God gives us clear, very clear instruction. God tells us plainly what's right and what's wrong. If we're interested in building our homes for God's glory, we must make the Word of God authoritative, recognize its authority, and bow to it. And if we would build our homes for the glory of God, we must get our priorities in order and keep our priorities in order. There are some things far more important than a big house on the fancy hill in the most elite part of town. There are some things far more important than the social class to which we belong, the clothes we wear, or the accumulation of money and the recognition of men. It is positively wrong. It is positively wrong for believers to live for and seek after such things. I can't state that emphatically enough. It is positively wrong for you and I, who are God's children, to live for prosperity and to live for importance and to live for position. It's wrong for us to live for those things and seek those things. Our Lord Jesus said, take no thought what you shall eat, what you shall wear, where you shall live. He said, your heavenly Father, who clothes the lilies and feeds the sparrows, knows what you need. And he tells us plainly, after these things do the Gentiles seek. That's what the reprobate live for. That's what the reprobate seek. That's what men and women who are under the wrath of God, cursed of God, seek after. The Lord God has set them in slippery places, and they'll fall in due season because God has set the world in their hearts. Oh God, thank you for not setting the world in my heart. Let us never, never set our hearts on this world, but rather seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Concerning ourselves and our families, our primary concern must be about our souls. Seek the glory of God in all things. Make the glory of God your object, and you will not greatly err in any area of life. Make the glory of God your goal, and you will not go wrong in any aspect of life. See to it in your households that your family worships God. Don't allow anything to keep you or your children from the worship of God. Nothing. Nothing. No matter what comes up, don't allow things to come up. Make certain that you build your house, your home, and your life around the worship of God. Don't just fit it into your family, but rather build your house around the worship of God. I have said to many men, both in this area and around the world, make it your business to plant yourself in a place where you and your family know we here will worship God and we here will do what we can to build the kingdom of God. This is where we are. This is what we do for the glory of God. And seek the welfare of God's church in all things. My family is not my primary concern, as important as my family is to me. My primary concern is God's family, God's Son, and God's glory. Let us endeavor then, as believers together, to promote the gospel of the grace of God, and in our homes, endeavor to promote the gospel of God's grace and glory in Christ. Now, I'm not suggesting anything radical. I don't suggest or imply that you should rob your family of food and shelter and clothing, obviously. But I do say that it is far more important for me to give myself, my time, my labor, my money, and my attention to the cause of Christ for the furtherance of the gospel than it is for me to live in the lap of luxury and provide the lap of luxury for my family. If we would build our homes for Christ and have any real spiritual influence over our families, we must get our priorities in order. And if we would build our homes for the glory of Christ, we must live as believers in our homes. There's no place in the house of God's people, no place in the families of believers for contention and anger and wrath and strife and envy. No place for it in the church of God, and no place for it in our homes. If we're truly God's children, we're strangers and pilgrims in this world, and we should be content with God's good providence, desiring neither more nor less than our Heavenly Father is pleased to heap upon us in His grace. If we're true believers, in our homes we will live in patience, in tenderness, in love, and in self-denial. That makes for peace in the church, and that makes for peace in the home. Children of God, pray that God will give us grace to live as God's children together in our own households. Now, let's look at this fifth chapter of Ephesians. I touched on these things Tuesday night, and I want to go over these very same things with a little bit more detail this morning. This is what the Spirit of God teaches us in this portion, Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ in the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long upon the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now clearly the Apostle Paul is here addressing men and women who are believers, men and women who are born of God, taught of God, men and women who are washed in the blood of Christ, united with Christ, one with Christ, men and women robed in the righteousness of Christ, men and women who live by faith in the Lord Jesus and live for the glory of the Son of God. Now here's the first thing. A truly happy home must begin with a loving husband at the head of the house. That's what we're told in verses 23, 25, 28, and 29. Husbands, love your wives. The primary responsibility of every household is on the shoulders of the husband, the father of that house. Yes, even the 21st century, man is required of God to be the head of his house. It is not possible to have a happy home unless the man is the head of his house. God Almighty holds me, this man, responsible for my household. That responsibility cannot be relinquished. That responsibility cannot be given over to my wife. That responsibility cannot be given over to somebody else. It is my responsibility. Before God, I am his prophet, his priest, and his king in my house. It is my responsibility to behave myself as the prophet, priest, and king of my house, God's representative in my family. I'm responsible to provide for my family, to train my children in the way of the Lord. I'm responsible to govern my household for the glory of God. Every husband must be the head of his family. That means the decisions of the family are his responsibility. That means the governing of the family is his responsibility. The welfare of the family is his responsibility. And he must exercise that headship in love, ruling his house for God's glory. I said, Pastor, that just can't be done. There was a man many years ago by the name of Joshua who said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. How could a man do that? If you live in my house, you're going to serve God with me. Just that simple. It's just that simple. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I have a very dear friend who some years ago had a teenage boy who decided that he just wasn't going to live like that in his father's house. And the man's a faithful preacher, a dear friend of mine. He said, son, if you're not going to live the way I require in my house, you can't live in my house. Pack your bag and get out. Pack your bag. Well, you can't do that to your son. If you care for your family, you can. If you care for your family, you can. God's servants are required to lead their houses in the worship and service of God. Well, what's my responsibility as the head of my house? There are some things that every man's family ought to reasonably expect from him. It is my responsibility to provide for them, to work and take care of them. No matter how hard that is demanded, no matter how taxing that is on me, it's my responsibility to do so. If a man will not work, neither should he eat. It's every man's responsibility to provide for his house. It's his responsibility to protect his house, to see to it that others do not do that which would destroy his house. It's my responsibility to teach my family and lead my family in the worship of God. It's my responsibility to train any children God gives me as God's servant and God's representative to them by instruction, by example, by discipline. A loving father will see to it that his children obey him. He'll see to it that they do. Well, I love my son too much to cause him pain. I love my daughter too much to cause him pain. No, you love yourself too much. A loving father will see to it that his children obey him. It's my responsibility to love my wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. To love my wife as Christ loved the church is to prefer her happiness to my happiness, to prefer her welfare to my welfare. It is to lay down my life for her good. What do those responsibilities require a man to be? Many things could be said, but let me give you three things. A man who's the head of his house must display firmness, not hardness, firmness. Every woman wants and needs a man who is a man. The woman's the weaker sex. God has fixed it so that her desire is unto her husband. That is, she must have a man she can lean on and depend on. True manliness involves firmness. Second, as the head of his house, a man must display dependability. Your wife and children need to depend on you. Need to be able to count on you. I want to be the kind of man that you just know exactly what I'm going to do in any situation. That's the kind of man I want to be. You can predict how I'm going to respond. My wife, my daughter, they can predict how I'll respond to almost anything. They need that dependability. They need that. And third, as the head of my house, I must display tenderness, particularly to my wife. Dwell with your wife in knowledge and honor, knowing who she is and what she needs. Every real man is something that we don't generally hear much about these days. He's a gentleman. He's a gentleman. That doesn't just mean polite. That means he's a gentle man, tender, loving, kind, and thoughtful. That doesn't take away anything from firmness. That doesn't take anything away from his dependability, his faithfulness. In your speech, in your actions, be tender, thoughtful, loving, and gentle. Second, a truly happy home requires a submissive and obedient and dedicated wife. By divine inspiration, the husband is commanded to love his wife. And by divine inspiration, a woman is commanded to reverence, submit to, and obey her husband. It's not difficult for a man to love a woman if she reverences him and submits to him. And it's not difficult for a woman to reverence a man and submit to a man who loves her, who truly loves her. It's not a matter of a man's superiority over his wife. You who know Shelby and I both know very well that she is, in almost every aspect of life, my superior. The only thing I'm having advantage over her is I'm a little stronger than her, and I'm losing that. But mentally, she's sharp. She's sharp. She's just sharp. Dependability, you can't find any better. But it's my responsibility to govern the house and her responsibility to submit to me as her husband. A woman's husband is in a God-ordained position of authority. Now, the fact is, every man needs and wants the reverence of his wife. It grieves me. Sometimes it angers me. I prefer that it grieves me. It grieves me to hear men speak ill of their wives, or to hear women speak ill of their husbands. It ought not to be, ever, ever. You ladies, your husband needs to know that you truly respect and appreciate him. Praise him, honor him, encourage him in speech and in thought. Don't belittle him in private or in public. Don't even do it in jest. Show your husband reverence. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you do, it's very likely that you will receive love and tenderness you desire from the man you reverence. I have never yet seen a woman who reverenced and obeyed her husband who didn't have a happy home. If you have, let me know, and I'll sit down and let you talk. I've never seen it happen. I've never seen it happen. Every man wants and needs for his wife to be a faithful housewife. I don't mean that a woman must not work outside the home or she should have no outside interest, but the principal sphere of her activity must be her home. Her principal care must be her home. Nothing pleases a man more than for his wife to keep a neat, clean house. Spend some time preparing good meals, put forth some effort preparing special treats for him. If you give your husband a reason to come home at night, he probably will, and may just spend more time with you there. And every man needs for his wife to be content. Content with what he's able to provide. Content with what he's able to give. Now, let me just make two comments in this regard and I'll quit. Our families need us much more than they need the frills we may heap upon them to pacify them. And second, don't build your home around your children. If you do, you'll regret it in time. The children will soon be gone. Build your home, men and women, around each other and live in happiness. And while the children are there, here's the third thing. A truly happy home must be a home in which children are compelled and taught and compelled to be respectful and obedient to the parents. This is principally the responsibility of a husband. But that husband must have the faithful support of his wife in giving the discipline of the house. And your house will be a house of misery, both for your children and for you, if you don't require that they reverence and obey you. If the children are obedient and reverent to their parents, if a woman submits to and obeys her husband, if a man loves his wife as the head of his house, building that home for God's glory, you will have troubles and heartaches and pains, no question, no question. But you will have a happy home while you make your pilgrimage through this world. God give us grace to do what he here teaches us to do for Christ's sake. Amen.